Don and Don's.
Four on the floor.
Well, I've been absolutely floored with this, with the Haiti reaction, or what has happened in Haiti during Hurricane Matthew. And just to bring you up to speed, they believe at least 1,000 people lost their life in that hurricane. Haiti, of course, is the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. This is CBS correspondent Vladimir Duthiers in Port-au-Prince. And the damage is super extensive.
Trees are completely uprooted. They, during the hurricane, were almost missile projectiles that smashed into homes. Coconuts became sort of like cannonballs as they smashed and destroyed people's homes. And now you're looking at a real humanitarian crisis because you have thousands upon thousands of people that have no place to go. The biggest fear right now is cholera. They don't have clean drinking water. Many instances, we visited a shelter where some of the folks there told us that the children haven't eaten in days.
He said many people in Haiti were unprepared, in part because they didn't know how big the storm was, and also in part because they literally have no resources or stores or anything to supply them with goods.
The saddest part was there were people who said to me, we had no idea what Category 4 meant. We didn't know what it meant. We just thought it was going to rain. And all of a sudden, in the middle of the night, while we're sleeping in our beds, the wind comes and the children start screaming. We start screaming. And next thing I know, the roof of my home is being torn off. The roof of my neighbor's home is being torn off. People are running, screaming. No one can see because there's not electricity, and so there are no lights.
All right. There you go. Join us live, and you probably saw him profiled in the Seattle Times. I think it was just last week. Greg Benick is the executive director of 100 for Haiti. His organization emphasizes developments in Haiti, but they're also involved with the relief efforts right now. And they were in Haiti before Hurricane Matthew, and they plan to continue helping others in the relief efforts. Greg, thank you so much for being here. I know you're on a speaking tour right now. Thanks for speaking to us on Kyle Radio. What are you hearing from friends right now in Haiti in the aftermath of Matthew?
Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it. From Haiti, the word is not good, especially in the South. And, you know, of course, Haiti geographically is in a difficult position, and it's in the path of storms, and it suffers from earthquakes and whatnot. But it's important to remember that even though the South of Haiti has been decimated by Hurricane Matthew, that the Haitian people are resilient, strong, honorable, and will always survive. And repeated trips constantly down to Haiti over the last half a decade has showed me that again and again and again. And I just want to point that out to listeners just so we don't get into the mindset of that the Haitians have no hope. They have all the hope in the world and all the strength in the world. And I think it's the responsibility of concerned citizens worldwide to uphold them and support them in that.
Greg, how did you first intersect with Haiti?
I first intersected with Haiti in the summer before the earthquake. I was producing a documentary film that featured a Haitian man who was helping bring clean water to his village. And we went to Haiti to interview him and profile his village. And when the earthquake happened, I was very concerned about people who I'd met in Haiti and was posting about them. I was concerned about this man's family. And some friends of mine let me know that some old friends from back in my high school days were sailing out of Miami to Haiti with about 15,000 pounds of relief supplies and food on a sailboat. And then they asked me if I wanted to go, and I flew to Miami. This is just after the quake, and we sailed 8 days and nights in open ocean to the southern coast of Haiti. And as far as we know, we were the first private relief boat to hit the southern coast of Haiti. And once there, we unloaded supplies, and I stayed in Haiti and made sure that friends were okay. And then from there, I was just committed.
Yeah, I went down there with the Army Rangers after the earthquake. And as you said, a very proud people. They are very capable people. And it's one of the first times I've ever seen where they actually have no resources. Like, people are willing to work and willing to help, and there's nothing for them to grab onto. There's no hammer or a nail or a board. They just sort of make do with what they have. The type of poverty in Haiti, I think, is very difficult for even the poorest United States citizen to even imagine.
It can't be comprehended. I mean, case in point, and this is just a minor example, but today, one of our partners in Haiti who has been delivering relief kits, meaning small kits with food supplies and basic hygiene products to people in really rural areas of the South, sent me a message and asked if I would be able to, through 100 for Haiti, if we would be able to provide him with funds for a chainsaw. The reason being, there are roads which are impassable because trees have fallen, and there's no chainsaw to chainsaw away the trees, and there's no one to take the trees away, and people are literally using hand saws to try to cut through trees so that relief and aid workers can get to poor people who haven't had food, water, supplies, or homes to live in since the hurricane.
Greg, hang on real quick. He's the executive director of 100 for Haiti. We come back. We just need 30 seconds here to check the cars. I want to hear one success story, maybe even about one Haitian or one Haitian family that you've seen with your own eyes as you've gotten involved in with the Haitian people. And then also I want to find out from you how we can help right now at this hour, too. All right? All right, Candy, thanks for that. We're visiting with Greg Benick. He's executive director of 100 for Haiti. His organization emphasizes development in Haiti, and they're involved in the relief efforts right now. In a moment, he'll tell us how we can help. Greg, tell us one story that will give us hope.
Well, you know, one thing that 100 for Haiti prides itself on is making sure that all donations to 100forhaiti.org are used effectively. So in the last couple days, rather than just dive in and tell everybody, we need blankets, we need this, we need that, which everyone is shipping down to Haiti, we come from a different philosophy. And the different philosophy is that we should support local Haitian-made products, even in the aftermath of a situation like this, support the local economy rather than shipping supplies down, which might be available there already. So we partnered with a local man who has access to a truck in Port-au-Prince, and he delivered 287 kits. Kits meaning, like, as I mentioned before, food, basic hygiene supplies, 287 kits to families in need. He was able to get down to the southern coast of Haiti and help house families who were in need, who didn't have houses. And he was able to do that all by using locally made or locally sourced materials rather than shipping things in, which cost the Haitian people twice. It cost them the cost to ship it in, and it cost them the cost to their economy when things for free, essentially, for lack of a better word, flood an economy that's already strained. So the success story was having a local Haitian help Haitian people using locally made and locally sourced products.
How do you tackle something as simple as clean drinking water?
It's very difficult. What 100 for Haiti does in the north is a project called the Rural Water Project. We help people build cisterns that catch naturally flowing water sources so that in times where the water table might be disrupted and cholera might come up through the water table and infect water, these people can then treat water in those cisterns with chemicals to kill the cholera so that they have safe water to drink. And details on the Rural Water Project are available at 100forhaiti.org as well. But it's a constant challenge, and we definitely appreciate and need everybody's help to keep that happening and keep people safe.
Greg, the thing I appreciate about you, and when I read the profile in the Times and talking to you now, is you saw something, and instead of going, man, somebody needs to help these people, you said, I guess that's me. I guess I'm the person that needs to help out. And so if people have been inspired or touched or like your attitude, how can they give?
Well, and you've hit on something, and it's a team effort. It's myself and the people on the 100 for Haiti core team all working together to contribute what they can, when they can, however they can. If people go to 100forhaiti.org, and that's all the letters spelled out, O-N-E-H-U-N-D-R-E-D-F-O-R-H-A-I-T-I.org, they can find out about the projects that are going on. They can sign up for monthly recurring donations in any amount that they like. And all of those donations are accountable for and will be used effectively in Haiti. We vet all of the people we work with. We think very seriously about the projects that we support, and we make sure that every dollar donated is put to good use. And it's a team effort, so any of your listeners can contribute and take part.
Yeah. That's Greg Bennett, Executive Director 100 for Haiti. Greg, thank you so much for stopping by and sharing your stories. We want everyone to check out this website. Just go to 100forhaiti.org. That's 100forhaiti.org. We'll see you in 1 minute on the Ron and Don Show with some talk shots. Don't go anywhere.